take it. There's also, it would have to be, the transfer has to be approved between both jurisdictions, so the town council and the county council. So at least they've given us a process. They've given us a step forward to do that, or path forward. So, I mean, if you'd like, you can direct us to pursue that, and we'll be happy to do that. I mean, that's something that we're going to do anyway.
Gary, do you want something further, or it's moving on its own?
I don't know that we can do anything further, but it's just frustrating. And one minor detail that I left out that I will add is when the county paved Atlantic Boulevard, they paved it and stopped right at Beach. And the then town manager or county manager promised that he would pave the rest of it and then never did. So that shut us up for a little bit, but then when that didn't happen, we come back up. But so far, we have not made much progress. So I'm going to leave it in the hands of the people that know more than I know, and if it can get done another way, that's fine too.
Thank you, Gary. Joe?
I would like to call for Wayne to cite his old position on the TPO, CAC. He was in that position up until October. The matters that he had to deal with.
Could you talk into your mic a little bit more? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'd like for us to reconsider reappointing Wayne Desai to the TPO CAC. He had to leave back in October for personal reasons. The situation is resolved. He's been out of town. So I happened to speak with him last week, and he would like to rejoin the CAC. I'd like us to consider that. Mike, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, it just has to come from the council's representative on the board, and it can be done. We'll have the letter ready to go.
So do we have to do, we don't have to do anything, Joe, don't, okay.
Just acclamation.
A letter, okay. Who has to do the letter?
Yeah, we'll do the letter.
You'll do the letter, okay.
And
all
board
done.
Rep will sign it.
Okay.
That's it.
All good.
And other than that, another information-filled town council meeting in the wonderful town of Ponce Inlet. Fantastic.
Thank you, Joe. Skip?
Okay, I'll try to be brief, I promise. Michael, one question. The Riverside Conservancy Shoreline Restoration Project that came up at the council meeting last month, did she ever supply you with any information on that? Because I know we were excited about it, and we were waiting to see if there was anything that came from her.
Yeah, we corresponded a little bit after that. She, the last I heard, she was going to go out and look at Timaquan, the shoreline along there, and then I haven't heard anything since. So
okay.
I can follow up with her on that.
We all thought it was a pretty good idea. So that, moving on, I did attend the Volusia County Council meeting on January 4th. I went there to support our Volusia County Council member, Matt Reinhart, on the resolution for the waiver of the sand. I know Mike was going to talk about it earlier, but it's from where people are building their seawalls, and we're working on the easement agreements for sand renourishment. So that did pass, by the way, and I was concerned that it might get pulled from the consent agenda, and it did not. So, you know, luckily we got out of there before all the other stuff with the fuel farm tank started, which they were there for a while. I also have had conversation with Matt Reinhart, again, concerning a proposal that he's putting together, and he actually has received some grant money to start utilizing the Volusia County prisons to start growing plants for dune renourishment that will be available for residents to go by and pick up once the renourishment process has been completed, and we're looking at probably around 2025. The reason I bring that up is I mentioned that to my neighbor, George Butler, that lives to the south. George actually has a plant nursery in South Florida that he has been involved with his dad for many, many years. George was excited about it. He offered up his services to actually work with Matt and go to the Volusia County prisons and teach the prisoners how to grow the plants. George said, Skip, it's not as easy as just putting a seed in the ground and hoping it happens. You wait 6 weeks and nothing comes up. So I shared that with Matt. Matt was excited about it, so I got George and Matt hooked up and then working on the next steps for that. Continue to working with Jessica Fentress and Shannon Minshew on obtaining the beach sand easement agreements. To the best of the records I currently have, there's only two residents that we have had zero contact with. One is Ms. Sowers, which is at 4713. She's actually in a nursing home. Contacted one of the neighbors. They're trying to get in touch with their daughter to try to get in front of her. She does have the documents, but she's not very comfortable with them at this point. The other one is 4911, which is Mr. Lyons. John Bird, lives to the north of him. I did have a conversation with him. He said he texts Mr. Lyons and has gotten no response. So that's the two critical ones, Michael, I think, you know, that we need to continue to focus on. It's 4713 and 4911. The last thing I have, and this is, again, very, very special. Pond Sound's a very special town. Please always be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Thanks to all the Pond Sound boards, the volunteers, the town clubs that donate their time and efforts to make our town so special. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Skip. Bill?
Just a couple things. Last night was soup and salad. Kathy, Karen, Lois, Miss. What did Mark call you? Mrs. Mayor? Or Mr. Mayor? Mr. Mayor, my wife and I represented Ponce Inlet. It was in a really, I think, Table 6 had a wonderful time. We really had a good time and enjoyed ourselves. Mark put on a good show. And we had a lot of good soups and a lot of good desserts that were donated by a person. It was very enjoyable, and I hope more people attend it next year. Were you camped out, Mark?
Close.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was close, but there was room. Other item is, remember, Council, Mike, February 3rd, Gala, Hilton Hotel. The table will be there. I asked today to see. There are still tables available at the gala if someone is interested. And we found out that we still have two people that haven't paid from last year.
Oh, no.
Yes. They made donations. They said we were going to donate. They were there, had the meals, and haven't paid yet. But that's it. I mean, we had a great time, and the shelter did again this year, this past month, even in December, which is usually a slow month, served over 5,000 meals again. So I'm proud of that place.
Bill, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I have just a few things to say. The first thing is, Bill, I participated in something I mentioned last night that was right up your alley. You would have loved it. I had an opportunity on Saturday to participate in a tournament for high school debaters in Jacksonville at the Bowles School. And the host organization was Incubate Debate. It's a Florida nonprofit debate league that hosts no-cost debate tournaments for urban and rural middle high school students across Florida. There were several debate formats with many judges, and the experience was so rewarding. And I want to tell you the three topics. Do the benefits of the International Monetary Fund outweigh the costs? Should the U.S. eliminate daylight savings time? And was it necessary to drop the atomic bombs on Japan? So this is what the debate topics were with these kids. But what I wanted to really share was that I had the privilege of sitting with Seventh Circuit Judge Michael S. Orfinger. He hears civil cases at the Volusia County Courthouse in DeLand. So, and a second judge as well, Rosemarie Preti, who sits also on the Seventh Circuit. So it was just a very, very rewarding day, and I have a feeling, Bill, next time I'm giving them your name as well. Then at the roundtable of elected officials on Monday, we had a presentation by two executives of Brown & Brown on our property insurance update, and they talked about the state of the market, legislative changes, and insights for 2024. There was another presentation, which is part of Mike's report, so I won't go through it, but it's another initiative of the county. Finally, at the Florida League of Cities advocacy meeting and also on our mayor's call, a request was made by the league for very specific data from each of the cities for purposes of providing our legislators with the data that they need in order for us to advocate the negative impacts of quite a few bills that have been filed, several of which have impacted all our revenue streams, all of them. So what we have is there's a bill for an additional homestead exemption of $25,000. The cost to the town of Ponce Inlet, if that goes through, is $290,000 in general revenues to our town. Has to be made up some other way. There's a bill for eliminating our business tax receipts. And there's certain items out of the enterprise fund. They're looking to restrict what can be transferred into our general fund. So the request for data from our town to show the negative impact has been shared with our staff. I'll have all the data, and that's what I use when I go up and sit with all of the legislators as I ask them their thoughts on these bills, and maybe there's a less invasive way for them to achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve with these. There are other bills, you know about them, short-term rentals, sovereign immunity caps, mobility fees. What's concerning us is that what they're taking away in revenue while imposing greater liability for us with sovereign immunity is just a terrible, terrible impact for us. And we are asking, is anybody looking at the big picture up there? Is anybody looking at what the impact is on the municipalities? So that's what we're doing when we go up there. And we met with Senator Wright about our appropriation requests. I've spoken with Representative Chase Tremont about our appropriation requests. Everything's moving along nicely. And I'm seeking a meeting with Representative Altman when I go up to Tallahassee. He is the chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Appropriation Subcommittee. And my purpose in meeting with him will be to discuss with him our $1.5 million septic to sewer request, because it begins in his subcommittee that month for the money. So that's it. And the legislature is doing their thing. So anyway, that is that. And I'll move on to our town manager, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of pipes, our Public Works and their crews are going to begin cleaning the stormwater pipes on the north half of town starting on the week of February 5th. So as you remember, they did the south half of town immediately following the hurricanes in 2022. Now we're going to do the north half of town. So, and that's something that's going to be put on the maintenance schedule to be done every 5 to 10 years or so. So that's going to be a regular occurrence. Some other public works updates. Public Works has hired an engineering company to analyze the stormwater systems around Las Olas and the neighborhoods to the north and south. That includes Kelly B. Court and Bay Harbor, and see if there's a way that maybe those can connect and function more as a total system and provide some additional capacity. The boat ramp light poles and lights are being changed out, and that's going to happen tomorrow. So there's a traffic notice has already been sent out to the residents by email. So the area around the boat ramp may be closed off for a little bit while the poles are unloaded and installed. The Public Works Department is also going to be repairing sidewalks around the town. It's not everywhere, but they've prioritized a list of those that need within the amount that's been budgeted for that. So that work's going to start in a few weeks as well. And then finally, staff is working with FPL to install additional streetlights in some of the darker areas along South Peninsula. The trees have already been trimmed around the existing lights, so we are working on those issues. And of course, the tree trimming, that's not a one-time thing. That needs to occur every year. All right, we previously mentioned the town is gonna be installing some sound dampening tiles here in the chambers. Those have now been delivered. Those are they're wooden panels, and it's gonna go around the perimeter. Now, probably not on the incline part, but just around the top here. So that works is also going to be happening in the next couple weeks, and hopefully that'll reduce this echo a little bit. Okay, we've previously talked about the Live Local Act from this past year, and this council has gone on record supporting changes to that. We've now received some draft bills in the Florida legislature that will do that at least in part. There's one that we're looking at that would now it would take out or not include industrial land. That doesn't affect us so much, but it's still a big change. There's also the previous bill or the Live Local Act had an exclusion for working waterfront areas. That's now been replaced entirely with an exclusion based on airport protection or airport hazard areas. So as you may remember, this town has adopted an airport zoning overlay, and that's based on where we fall within the airport hazard area of the new Smyrna Beach Airport. So that's essentially the south half of town that is exempt from this rule. So that really leaves, you're talking about commercial areas. That's the Harbor Village area, and then technically the North Turn restaurant. So that's it. And then the last thing, speaking of North Turn restaurant, the Legends Parade, that's going to be held on Saturday, February 10th. Parade will begin at 12 p.m., and there's a program for autographs and interviews. That's going to be held at the North Turn restaurant starting at 1:15. The town is, again, a co-sponsor of this event. That's per our ordinance and resolution for that. And if you have any questions, you can ask Jackie Alex. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff?
Well, Mayor, I was glad to hear Mike bring up Live Local, just because it reminded me in November, I guess it was, that I spoke, months are flying by now. In November, I spoke at the FRA conference that was held up in the Sawgrass area, and to a packed room, significantly packed. My topic was Live Local and how it was going to be affecting, at that time, because FRA is about community redevelopment. But I asked at the beginning of my presentation, rhetorically, does anyone agree with the idea that it would be wonderful if the legislature would take a 2 or 3 year vacation and just stop? It's the only thing I said all day that got unanimous agreement. Because they just should stop, because I can't even keep up. But that takes me to another topic near and dear to your hearts, or should be, and it will be soon if you're not fully aware yet. As you know, we lost a council person because of Form 6. And for those who don't know, Form 6 is a much, much, much more involved and complicated financial disclosure that is now imposed on all elected officials. And for a short period of time, they were thinking about imposing it on people like me and Mike and your clerk. They didn't do that yet. Give them an opportunity to see if they change that. I hope they do not. And the reason that's not significant is not just because it's intrusive. That's true. But I'm certain many citizens would say, well, that's the cost of, you know, being in office. I get all that. But what it is also really complicated. And depending on, you know, your assets, the size of the stuff that you have, it may actually require you to get some help to fill it out. And towards that end, the Florida Commission on Ethics has put a link on their website to an over hour and 15-minute video in which they talk about how to comply with Florida Form 6. So if you're going to take on this task yourself, you might want to go check that out to get some help in preparing it between now and July when it is due. Or you may want to consider whether or not you need to have your CPA or whoever does your taxes help you with that form. And I mention that simply because if you wait to the last minute to fill this one out, you will not have enough time. And the last thing for me is that, as I already had mentioned earlier on and re-referenced during the meeting, the next meeting, which is on the 15th, ordinarily would not be an issue. But Apopka, who doesn't meet on Thursdays, has started a charter review, much like you started a charter review, and they picked not Valentine's Day, which would be perfect for me because that's Wednesday, but they picked Thursday the 15th. So next meeting in this chair, Drew Smith will be here just because of that issue. But that will not be a constant thing.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Form 6.
Yes.
You submit it. It's there.
You can file it online.
It's public. How is there a way that somebody can say, I don't believe that, and cause an investigation to see if it's right? And how do they see if it's right?
Well, the how part is complicated because it depends on who you are and your resources. So, for an example, I feel relatively certain that based on the nature of politics today and knowing that the requirements are now much more staunch in terms of what you report, those who might consider becoming your political opponents and then perhaps political enemies will, as is known opposition research, will have folks pulling the stuff and saying, well, I know that's not right. I know this candidate owns more property, or I know they have an account in the Bahamas, or who knows what they'll say. And similarly, news media will do the same thing if somebody is acting, filing something that is suspicious. You might have heard recently, and this is not about which party he's in, but it's just that it's been the news, so if you've paid attention, you would know this. Our current Speaker of the House, not in Florida, but nationally, doesn't even have a bank account. So he reports because he doesn't want to put this stuff on forms. I don't know how he gets through life, but that's been national news. And so whether that's true or not is now something that's being debated, and people are calling him out and say that's not possible. It's, you know, whatever. Who knows? I don't know what the story is. But it is going to be – there's no formal mechanism. There's no law enforcement agency you can report to. If anything, it's going to be an ethics issue, at least for now. But it'll certainly 100% be a political issue. And whether it's criminal or not will depend on the intent and whether there's an errors made and so forth. But critically important for you all is that the fines that now are assessed for violations of ethics are up to $20,000, where it was $5,000 before. And so it has some punch to it now that it didn't have before.
I can't wait.
Anything else, Cliff?
Happily, no. And if the legislature follows my advice, I will try to be quiet for those 2 years.
Thank you, Cliff. We are down to our last citizen participation. Does anyone wish to come up and speak in the last 2 minutes? No one? Okay. Then we are adjourned, 8:22. Thank you, everybody.
How do you evaluate?